Well, good morning. We are going to be taking a short break from our series Through the Bible. Last week we heard a great message on the Gospel of Matthew. But this week and next week we're going to be taking a short break and we're going to be focusing on Christmas. You know, that's appropriate because it's Christmas time that we talk about that. And really, we want to bring our attention to the Christmas story. And how many of you are enjoying the Christmas season so far? I really am. I love this time of year. It's really busy for me, but I really enjoy it. I enjoy the decorations. I don't know if anybody else gets like this, but every year around Christmas, as soon as I start to see my neighbor start out to put out their decorations, the competitive nature just starts to rise in me a little bit, and I'm like, well, I gotta do something. I think this year I managed to put like 3 strings across my front porch. I don't even know if it's finished, but hey, it's up and I've decorated. I love Christmas music. I have standards though. I have my limits. It can't be before Thanksgiving. And January 1st, there are no more chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Done. I'm kind of the same way with snow. It can all melt January 1st. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here, so excellent. You know, I love the atmosphere. I love the memories that come with it. I love building new memories with my family and my kids. That's really special and important. It's really fun, too, to see them kind of get into the Christmas spirit, I guess you can call it, just the excitement, the expectation. I think my son started talking about Christmas around July, and I tell him, you know, when he go down for bed at night, I said, hey, I love you, buddy, and he goes, love you too, Dad. It's almost Christmas. I'm like, you're right. It's almost Christmas. So, however, you know, Christmas has widely become commercialized, and I know you see this, and it's becoming a consumer's paradise or a consumer's dream. All you got to do right around October is walk into Costco and they have Christmas trees already. And you walk in and you think, man, just give me a chance. I haven't even got to Thanksgiving yet. You know, and it's just this Christmas everywhere. And like I said, it's becoming a consumer's day and we actually start to forget why we're actually celebrating that day. You know, because we're gearing up all December for this one day. Are we going to, whose family are we going to go see? What are we going to do? Who's cooking? Who's bringing what? Do we remember presents? Do we buy a gift for your Uncle Toby? Is he going to be there this year? I don't know what's going on. Let's probably add a couple extra gifts just in case someone unexpected shows up. And with this, we gear up to it. And then the day is just chaos. Everyone's cooking, having a good time. There's wrapping paper getting thrown everywhere. You got to make sure you grab all your gifts before you leave. But do we ever slow down and reconsider why we're actually celebrating that day? Why are we even gathered together on this day? And the fact is there is actually a persistent, slow and steady attack on the day of Christmas. People are trying to take Christ out of Christmas. And it's been like this for a long time. And all you gotta do is look at the school system as they're trying to take God out of school. The same thing is happening as they're trying to abstract Christ from the Christmas. They're trying to celebrate the Mass, the celebration, without the Christ. And, you know, we forget because we're just all, we're caught up in this. And even employers will tell their employees, hey, you know what, maybe this year let's not say Merry Christmas. Maybe wish our customers Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. That sounds noble, right? Or, you know, if they don't believe anything, just tell them to have a nice day. You know, that's good too. The world would diminish Christ so much to make the nativity that we have on our front lawns just another decoration and have no meaning whatsoever. I just want to tell you this morning that I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Christmas story and all that it entails. Even the pieces of the Christmas story that to some people are far-fetched and not practical, I believe. I believe they're true. I believe that we need to have a better understanding of what we say we believe. The title of my message today is, What Child Is This? and what child is this? And I chose this title because I believe we have to have a clear belief and understanding of who Jesus is and why he actually came. And I just wanted to share with you some polls that were conducted. And I got this online. I thought they were pretty fascinating. There was actually about 80 questions. And just to help you out today, I chose 8 of those 80, just for the sake of time here. But these are questions that were conducted. The first part here is about the Christmas story, trying to get an idea of where people's knowledge were around this. And just so you know, the people that were polled actually all had Christian backgrounds or are actively involved in their churches. So let's take a look here. The first one is 98% of people knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So good for them. That's good. We're doing good so far. 89% knew that Mary put Jesus in a manger. That's great. 83% that it was the angel Gabriel who told Mary that she would give birth. But only 26% knew that Mary and Joseph were engaged when she first found out that she was going to have a baby. This next poll here has to do with personal belief. 51% believe the birth of Jesus is irrelevant to Christmas. Again, these are people with Christian background. 52% are interested in knowing the true meaning of Christmas. I would say refer to question one. Just a thought. 61% believe that Christmas is for children. 64% do not believe in the virgin birth. Now, just like today, and I don't know where they conducted the survey at, but I really feel for those pastors next week when they're delivering their message. But just like today, there was confusion as to who Jesus was during his ministry. There was confusion. People didn't really know what he was all about. In fact, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus has a conversation with his disciples about this, and he says, "Hey, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am?" And as disciples, I can just kind of imagine this playing out in my head. I have a very visual imagination, so I can kind of see them like, some say you're John the Baptist. And then others like, well, some say you're kind of like Elijah. And others say, some say you're a prophet. Yeah, that's it. You're a prophet. And then Jesus looks at them and says, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And we know from the story that Peter jumps up and says, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. So as we approach this Christmas season, who do we say that Jesus is? When we look at the manger here and we ask, what child is this? Is that a rhetorical question? Or do we actually wonder, what child is this? Do you understand, do you believe in the person of Jesus and who he is and what he did? Who do you say that he is? We're going to turn over to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew 1, 18, and this is the account of how the birth of Jesus came about. And we're going to go ahead and read it. It's going to be up on the slide here if you didn't bring your Bible today. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, notice it says son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we read this text, we see this prophecy, and this is where, again, my mind goes. I got to go and find out where that is. So this prophecy actually takes place in Isaiah 7. You can turn there if you'd like. Isaiah 7, it's going to be starting in verse 10, and we're going to take a look at that just a little bit today. But I'm just going to give you some background, some context of what's actually going on in this time. At this time, the kingdom of Judah is being attacked by the nation of Syria, and some of the tribes of Israel are actually helping in this siege. They're attacking Judah. Ahaz is the king of Judah at this time. And God sends his messenger, Isaiah, to the king, and he tells him to ask him for a sign. And this is where we're going to pick up the story here. So Isaiah 7, starting in verse 10, again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. So God sends King Ahaz, his prophet, and says, and this is God speaking to him. He says, hey, Ahaz, ask me anything. Ask me anything. I will give you a sign. Deepest depths, highest heights, doesn't matter. Ask me a sign. I'll give it to you. Now, if someone came to us and if we were having a trying situation, you know, like if we were being besieged by other nations, and God said, give me a sign. I will prove to you I'm going to deliver you. That's a pretty good deal. You'd be like, well, I'm going to have to consider this for a second. Let me see, what would I like to ask for? Well, Ahaz does something completely different. He says, No, I know this one. No, I will not test the Lord. I will not tempt him. I will not ask him for a sign. I know this one. Nice try, Isaiah. And the answer, when you read it the first time, you think, oh, well, that's kind of a pious answer. I mean, that's probably a good answer. Well, the fact is, he wasn't being pious. He wasn't being reverent to God. He had actually, right before this, made an under-the-table deal with Assyria. Remember, he's being attacked by Syria and Israel. He made a deal with Assyria, which basically sold his entire kingdom into slavery to the Assyrians just to save his own skin. No wonder he turned God down, because he had already come up with the solution himself. So to save his own skin, he sold his people into slavery. He didn't want to do it God's way. He wanted to manipulate the situation and try to save himself his own way. And it wasn't that he didn't want to test God, or he didn't want to trust God. And it's here that we see the messianic prophecy, which is a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. God says, tell him the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Now, if he wasn't already confused, this would do it. This is a prophecy that's 700 years in the future. Ahaz is probably sitting there thinking, and? What does this have to do with me? A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Thank you for that, Isaiah. That's really helpful in this situation. Well, this is what he's saying. Ahaz is the king of Judah, of the house of David, the lineage of Jesus. What God is saying is, Messiah hasn't come yet. Therefore, nothing is going to happen to you. I've got this. I've got your back. Nothing is going to happen to you. And this is a prophecy that really we as Christians can take as well, is that God is there. God has our back. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us in our situations and in our trials. He is God with you. There are two points that I really want to focus our attention on today. And each point is a declaration of belief. Because I believe that we need to make these declarations. I believe that we need to actually say, I believe in this. Especially when you come to the Christmas story. And the first one is this, is I believe in the virgin birth. Remember from earlier in our time today that 64% of the people polled did not agree with that statement. I want to say is I disagree with them. And let me tell you why it's important to believe in the virgin birth. If Jesus was born of a virgin, it means that while he was here on earth with us, he was fully God. He was fully God. In Matthew 1:18, it says, she was found to be a child of the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 1:20, it says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The reason that there is an attack on the virgin birth account is because of this. If he wasn't born of a virgin, then he wasn't really God. And if he wasn't really God, our sins aren't atoned for. That's why there's an attack. Now I want to show you something. We know from the Bible and from the Apostle Paul's writings that the iniquities of the father are passed to the children, and that it's actually man's seed that carries the sin nature because of Adam. I would like you to notice it doesn't say the mother's seed. It says the father's seed. And wives, this is where you'd nudge your husbands and say, see, I told you they got it all from you. And men, this is where you can nudge your wife's back and say, yeah, well, Eve ate the fruit first. Just kidding. It's important to believe in the virgin birth because God is sinless. God is sinless, which means that his seed is sinless, which means when he died for us, our sins were atoned for. And in him we have life. You have to understand this too, is Jesus wasn't a messenger from God. He was God come with a message. That's why he came. Jesus wasn't a messenger from God. He was God come with a message. Second point today is this, is I believe Jesus was fully God and fully man. I believe he was fully God and fully man. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 it says, the Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 4:2-3 says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is even in the world. 2 John 7 says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have already gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. If you want to know more about the Antichrist, great question. Pastor Jess is sitting in the front row. I'll be happy to answer all your questions about, sorry. Or David, either one is fine. This is the one I really want to focus on here, though, is Hebrews 2:14-18. This is so rich. You got to listen to this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not the angels that help, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, right there in the Bible, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are also being tempted. Think about that. Wherever you're at right now, whatever you're going through, maybe you're struggling with temptation. God can help you because he experienced it. It says right there, he helps you through. It says he atoned for us. It says he is fully man and fully God. I believe Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was born of a virgin. As a man, he suffered. And as a man, he died for our sins. But on the third day, he rose again. And he rose victorious. And the truth of the matter is that every single one of us, unless Jesus comes back first, is going to face death. But the good news is, Jesus conquered death. And we don't have to fear it. We aren't slaves to the fear of death anymore because we have atonement in Jesus. In him we have life. I once heard a pastor tell a story about a friend he had, and his friend was a judge. And this judge was just going about his day, and he saw someone he knew on the street, and his friend came up to him and said, "Hey, I got a problem. I got a ticket, and it's a pretty hefty ticket. And I know you're a judge, and I was wondering if you could, you know, do your judge thing and maybe help me take care of this." And the judge said, "Yeah, give me your ticket. I'll take care of it for you." So a couple weeks go by, and the man sees his friend, the judge, again, and he says, "Hey, were you able to take care of that ticket for me? Were you able to, you know, make it go away?" And he goes, "Yeah, I paid it for you." And he said, No, "I didn't want you to pay it. I wanted you to, you know, expunge it, do your judge thing, make it go away. You know, I don't want you to pay the thing. It was a big ticket." And he goes, "I know it was a big ticket." And he goes, "Well, why'd you pay it?" And the judge looked at his friend and says, "Were you guilty?" And the man said, "Well, yes, I was." And the judge looked at him and said, "Then justice demanded that a price be paid." We're going to be wrapping up here soon, but I want everyone just to close your eyes for a second. And I want you just to imagine the Garden of Eden. And I want you to imagine that Adam was not with Eve when she took the fruit. Say Adam was somewhere else. Maybe naming a new species of birds or something, I don't know. But he wasn't with Eve. Then a conversation like this would have had to have happened. God the Father would have had to come up to Adam and say, "Son, I am so sorry to tell you this, but the bride that I have prepared for you has sinned, and she's going to die because justice demands that a price be paid." Now, I know that part of the story didn't happen. And I'll tell you a part of a story that did happen. Is God the Father had to go to his son, his only son, and he had to put his arm around him and say, "Son, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but the bride that I have prepared for you has sinned and she is going to die because justice demands a price be paid." And Jesus lifted up his hands and said, "I'll die for her. I'll die for her." That is the story of Christmas. That is what child this is. I don't know where you're at right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know if Christmas brings joy, if it brings suffering for you personally. But I just want to tell you that today, Emmanuel, God with us, He's with you. He is with you in your season, in your circumstance, in your trials, in your temptation, whatever it is, in the good times and the bad, He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. I'd like to take a moment. Everyone, just keep your eyes closed, bow your heads. I want to take the opportunity right now. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe? Or are you asking yourself, what child is this? Are you seeking God today? Because He's seeking you. That's why He came. He came for you. I just want to make opportunity right now. If anyone here does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to today, we would love to introduce you to Him. So if that's you, would you just slip your hand up? No one is looking. Just slip your hand up today. Maybe you've been away from the Lord and you need to come back. Amen. Just go ahead and slip your hand up. Awesome. Awesome. Can we all stand? I just want to pray a prayer, and I'd like everyone to join in with me. We'll do that in just a second here. God, You see the hands that are raised and You see the unraised hands. God, and as we pray this prayer, I just pray that You would just take this as our declaration of faith in You. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank You for coming to earth, coming as a man and dying for my sin. And Lord, I declare, I believe in You. I believe that You have died for my sins, that You have made atonement on the cross. God, I believe that You have saved me. I believe in You. I am a new creation. God, I dedicate my life to You and to Your ways. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. We're just going to conclude here with a song. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you prayed this prayer for the first time, maybe you have other things going on in your life right now that you really need someone to help you battle with, someone to pray for you over, I just invite you to come up front. There's going to be people up here to pray for you. But I just want to encourage you again, you are not going through a Christmas season alone, because we have Emmanuel. We have God with us.